What do you get when you mix emerging technology and timeless beauty? You get Vera Iconica Architecture and Veronica Schreiber Smith. Vera Iconica means true likeness. And on the company website, you can see countless examples of their gorgeous aesthetic, their science and technology, their vast array of projects, their leadership in the industry. What you can't see is the woman who powers it all. She's there among her small but mighty team, but really, you can't see what Veronica has done in the industry and in the world. In her casual Jackson Hole chic style, she has taken the architecture and wellness worlds by storm, adhering to standards and practices that others only aspire to. She applies those standards to everything she does, and it set the bar high, which is exactly where that bar should be. Her designs are in harmony with nature and with the people who live, work, and visit her creations. She calls it life regenerated through design. And on behalf of the Global Wellness Summit Advisory Board, I am deeply, personally thrilled to present Veronica Schreiber Smith with the Leading Woman in Wellness Award. Veronica.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Season 3 of the Global Wellness Summit podcast. I'm your host, Kim Marshall. This season was recorded live at the first ever hybrid Global Wellness Summit, a groundbreaking event held at the iconic Breakers Resort in Palm Beach, Florida, November 8 to 11 in the never-to-be-forgotten year of 2020. There were about 125 in-person delegates, while hundreds more joined online from around the world in real time. Under the careful eye of former Surgeon General Dr. Richard Carmona, here were just some of the COVID guidelines in place to make the in-person meeting possible. All attendees received a COVID test upon arrival and results within 30 minutes. Far UVC and UVC light cleaned the indoor air. Conference room seating was all 6 feet apart. Everyone at the hotel was masked, from the speakers on stage to the audience members and the bellmen and waiters. There was even a masquerade ball on the final night. Have you ever tried to lead a conga line with a mask on? Anyway, to ensure that our podcast recordings were crystal clear and not muffled through a mask, I sat on one end of a 14-foot table and my guests sat at the other. And an innovative UV light cleaning device from Health E was right nearby, cleaning the air, our clothes, all the surfaces. It was amazing. We recorded 8 episodes with topics ranging from how to build a wellness business to how to keep your hormones healthy. You'll also get to know our new sponsor, Birio Systems, which makes holistic products for people and pets. And just a heads up, if you couldn't join us at the live summit, look for a Global Wellness Summit on Demand prompt on the GWS website homepage. For a fraction of the cost of summit registration, you can get access to all the keynote and panel discussions, plus exclusive access to groundbreaking research on mental wellness, and you'll meet the pioneering companies in the first ever GWS Tech Pavilion. But now to our very first episode of the season, a conversation with Veronica Schreiber Smith, who, as you heard at the start of the show, is the award-winning founder of Vera Iconica Architecture, that specializes in wellness architecture. This beautiful blue-eyed mother of three somehow times her pregnancies to be able to bring her nearly born or newborns to global wellness summits around the world. And this year was no exception. Somehow, Veronica also finds time to chair the Global Wellness Institute's Wellness Architecture Initiative. Of course, I love her because she recognized me in the hallway before our interview from watching our GWS Leader Livecast on Instagram. But that's another story. Listen as Veronica tells us about good vibrations that surround us and how to take control of our own indoor environments. Enjoy the show. Veronica Schreiber, is that right?
Yes.
Is that German?
Yes, it is.
Oh, does it mean anything?
Schreiben means to write. And ice means ice, so it doesn't really make any
sense. To ride on ice. Okay, that's what ice skaters do. So perhaps you have ice skaters in your past.
Ice skaters, ice sculptor. I don't really know.
Wedding cake maker. Okay, Veronica, besides being a fabulous woman among fabulous women, who are you and why are you here?
I am architect and I specialize in wellness architecture. And that's the study, the art and science basically behind how the environment and our surroundings impact our health and well-being and just our overall quality of life.
Okay, well, you don't look old enough to even have a degree yet, so we'll just get past that. Tell us how you got to wellness architecture. Was it because you had glowing skin, were healthy looking, so you're like, I might as well keep it that way, or how did you bump into it?
Yes, it's my skin is my claim to fame. No, I have always been very sensitive to the spaces around me. And when I was doing my master's, my thesis was about how inanimate objects in our life end up impacting us more than we think they do. Mm-hmm. So that they actually do hold a life force or a frequency, and that those things are impacting you all the time. So as I move through the world, I'm very sensitive to all of these things that are impacting us and influencing us, and have spent the last 20 years studying that.
So it was a natural. What made you want to be in architecture?
Well, when I was about 8 years old, my dad asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, it's either going to be a travel agent or an architect. And he said, well, you know, travel agents don't make very much money. He never told me architects don't make very much money either. But it's a good thing because now travel agents are all but obsolete when back in the day they used to
run the
play
world.
A much larger role.
Yeah, yes. Now we all do it ourselves. So I am happy to hear that you are based in Jackson, Wyoming, which is really Jackson Hole, right?
Yes.
To those of us from the West Coast, we're like, let's go to Jackson Hole. What's the difference between the two?
Well, Jackson Hole is a nickname. There's not actually a geographic location named Jackson Hole.
I'm learning.
The valley is basically a hole in the mountains. And so they used to have rendezvous in Davy Jackson's Hole back in the day. And so the Jackson Hole Mountain Resort, the ski area, is named that, but it's kind of a nickname for the valley.
Okay, well, to me, it sounds like an inspiring environment to do your work from. How did you end up there?
So I'm originally from Wyoming. Both my mother and father's side of the family immigrated to the U.S. and homesteaded in Wyoming.
What?
So Wyoming has a sweet spot in my heart. But I lived and traveled all over the world for several years and ended up missing home and found my way back to Wyoming and to Jackson in particular.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so people need to know that this woman in front of me is also the mother of three. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And we all shared last night at the Global Wellness Summit opening night. Some of us shared little known facts about each other. And tell us what yours was. It was so funny.
Well, I shared with everybody that it's been a rite of passage for all of my kids to come to a summit within a few weeks of birth. So my oldest son came to his first summit at the ripe old age of 2.5 weeks.
Was that in Austria or what?
That was in Austria.
Oh my gosh. Kitzbühel.
Yes, Kitzbühel. And then my second, a daughter, she was -4 weeks old. So I'm going to give her credit for that one.
She was there. She was there.
And now my third was born 8 weeks ago. So she just had her 2-month birthday on Saturday.
And she's here today.
She's here with my intrepid mother, the granny nanny.
Perfect.
Couldn't do what I do without her.
I think we almost shared an elevator together. Not many other newborns around here. But anyway, we're so glad all of you are here. Now, you run a female-owned business.
I do.
Yeah, that's something unto itself. But tell us about some of the most exciting projects you've worked on, and I'd like to start with Peru, please.
Okay, so my first job out of school was actually living and working in Peru for Luis Longhi, who is now a business partner. And I actually ended up using him as a precedent in my thesis because I was writing about how inanimate objects have, you know, more of an impact on us than we recognize today. The second part of that was talking about an intuitive design process. The idea is that we need to have science and evidence back everything that we do and know how it's enriching our lives and what impact it's really having. But at the same time, the world is too complex. And when you're designing experiences for people, that's actually so multifaceted that if you were breaking it down into little pieces, you would miss the essential qualities. And when you have an intuitive design process and you tap into your divine being and something bigger and allow the design to flow through you and channel who you're designing for, something really beautiful and unexpected can come out of that. And so the projects that I have done in Peru and that I still do to this day use that intuitive design process.
So this says Pachacamac.
Pachacamac.
Oh, Pachacamac. Of course I would pronounce it that way. Architecture as art, as sculpture, as culture. And that Pachacamac actually grows from the landscape. I encourage everybody to go to your website, which is what? To look at these pictures. What's your website?
Website is www.veraiconica.com.
Okay, cool. And I'm telling you, I got to go to Peru in 1983, and there is something so ancient and so powerful about the earth itself. Is this near the Nazca Lines or no?
It's a couple hours away. Uh-huh. It's south of Lima, within 30 minutes of Lima.
Oh.
And again, I think what makes that project so beautiful and so successful is that my mentor, Luis Longhi, who is Peruvian, he has essentially, when a lot of his peers were doing architecture that was modern and these white boxes and to some extent aspiring to become a new Miami.
Right.
He was really trying and successfully creating a new contemporary style of Peruvian architecture. And I think that as we become more international, it becomes easier to travel when we're not in COVID days.
Right, exactly.
That sense of identity and preserving culture is so important, and it needs to be part of the architect's, you know, vocabulary and tricks in their tool bag is to be very sensitive and thoughtful that we enhance and enrich the cultural and the traditions and the people that live in a place.
Well, this says that this building that I can't pronounce anymore was designed to pay homage to the intellect of a Peruvian philosopher. Is that right?
Yes.
Unbelievable. And it says, the wings of the home reach east and west and respond to the sun's daily path, honoring Peru's vibrant mythology. I mean, come on. So how long did it take you guys to design that?
So that was a unique process that was very successful because we were in Peru. So we designed it for several months and then construction started. And when we would visit the site every few days. And when we saw that a space could move a little bit, it was truly like sculpting the land and being able to shift. And that took the unique team, again, Luis Longhi and the contractor who was working with us was flexible and fluid. And it was, you know, the time and materials contract also allowed you to do it. In the U.S., that would be a little trickier because we have, you know, the contracts aren't always set up as time and materials right. And there's change orders,
permits
horrible
and
nasty word.
And, yeah.
But that whole process was about being fluid and was really dedicated to this outcome of sculpting the landscape and with the client in mind the whole time.
Well, just take a peek at it at the website. But anyway, now let's flip and talk about something kind of totally the opposite, Brandify, an office space in Los Angeles. What happened there?
So we've done several offices, Brandify. We also have one in Jackson, Wyoming, Outpost, and now working on some other offices. But the idea behind them is workplace wellness, which a lot of companies are really focusing on these days and how important it is to make sure that your staff is healthy. And so, of course, it came from being driven by the bottom line. But at the end of the day, making sure that people love where they work is so important. And because we spend so much of our time at our office, even more time at our office than we do at our home in many instances. And so having open daylighting and natural views, the daylighting helps with our hormone production. So our immune system, our ability to sleep, which also, enhances our immune system, helps prevent disease and illness, and the materials, the air quality, purification, having filtered water, making it easy to drink. There's so many people. We live in such a fast-paced world where it's really difficult for people to, we skip meals. And, we don't hydrate.
We don't drink water, yeah. We don't
drink coffee. So helping put these, basically designing little nudges into the built environment so that your staff, your team, your colleagues, your peers can be healthy and happy just living, naturally living their daily life.
Well, you say here, people who spend time in buildings designed for wellness increase their cognitive abilities by over 60%. Our spaces make you smarter. How do you prove that?
Well, the School for Public Health at Harvard.
Oh, is that all? Reach for the stars, girl.
Did a study about 4 years ago now. And what they did, they were measuring the indoor air quality. And so they did the ASHRAE standard, which is our national standard that all of our engineers use for how many air changes per hour need to come in and out of a space. And that was the control. And then they did a little bit better, and then a high-performance building. And what they found is that when your air exchange and the quality of your air actually matches the pure air that is outside, that or rather the opposite, when it's at that ASHRAE standard, that code level, your cognitive performance decreases in some areas to below 70%. Hmm. So think of, and if you want to think about that from a business perspective, if all of your staff, there's so much CO2 and other pollutants in the air that they're working at 70% their capacity,
that's
leaving
a
lot of money on the bottom line.
Exactly. So I will tell you that just being able to get up and move during COVID, I've completely now moved to working at home, right? I used to do half and half and work at the office and at home, but I can't sit very long. I'm always sweeping or putting the phone on mute and doing dishes or walking the dog on a conference call because I'm like, I cannot sit at a thing. But when you're in an office, there's more of an excuse to sit there because there's not that many places to go. So how do you design an office for movement?
So the ergonomics of the desks space in particular is really important. So we, in our office, for example, we have standing desks.
Oh, yeah.
And we've actually raised the level of the floor because a lot of times environmental psychology goes into this too, right? So if everybody in your office has standing desks and they're all at different levels at different times with cords piling out the back, that's a little bit chaotic. It's not a serene environment. And so that's also part of clear thinking.
Wow.
And clarity of mind.
So in my bedroom, I shouldn't be able to think at all. I have so much stuff in there. Okay, good.
So anyways, in our office, we have a uniform level surface. And what we've done is we've adjusted the floor to everybody's different height level so that they can stand in the space or they have chairs or stools that sit. So some people have little balls or cushions. Some people have stools that are just one single leg that kind of flex and bend as you move. And then we have other ergonomic chairs. The second thing that we do in addition to paying attention to the workstation is providing multiple different areas for somebody to work and then giving them laptops or iPads or different mobile devices to empower them and make them feel comfortable that you can and you should leave your desk. And it is appropriate to do this activity at your desk. It's appropriate to do this activity over here or there, or take a call while you're walking outside. We have some of our staff, we have voiceover IP, so they use their cell phones and they might take a walk around the block while they're on a call.
Oh my God, what freedom. I mean, I do it without asking anybody because it's my company, but boy, great if you work for somebody. So you were quoted in Forbes about wellness architectural trends. Can you give us three? We actually interviewed a wonderful friend. I hope you know her, Jennifer Walsh, and she does Walks with Walsh. And she used to walk CEOs through Central Park, and record them. But she has become a huge advocate for walkers. She's walking. She's walked her way through COVID in New York when all the streets were empty just to keep healthy. So I noticed in researching this interview that you mentioned some of the things she did in trends. So let us know what you think is on tap for trends.
Oh, well, it might be what I list right now might be a little different than Forbes. I think that was a couple of years ago now at this point. But some of the trends that we're seeing is a lot more attention on lighting. Lighting's a really big one. I mentioned the study that the School of Public Health did on air quality before, but now really an important trend is lighting. Because if you're sitting in this indoor environment with poor lighting, that is completely destroying your bodily rhythms, your hormone production, so many things that we need every single day to be healthy and happy. It impacts our mood, our immune system, our sleep. And so then you go home and you feel off and you stay up too late. So then you're taking something to help you fall asleep when really there's nothing wrong with you. It's the lighting that's in your office space. So lighting is a really important trend that's happening.
Now a word from this season's sponsor. Excuse me, sir, could you tell me your name and title?
Mark Faulkner, CEO of Vireo Systems.
Okay, Mark Faulkner, I don't care if you're CEO of Vireo Systems. You're my new friend. Why? Because I have the cutest neighbors, children. They're British and Italian mixed, and one's 2 and one's 6. And they're at my house with my dogs all the time. And I met their grandma, and I just thought, what a cute British grandma. Yeah. I didn't even know she worked. I thought she was retired. I don't even care. And I was getting ready to come here and my beloved podcast for GWS. And at the last minute, we found out that our sponsors pulled out because they had VC funding trouble. And I was like, what? And it was such a shock. I went to the pool and I'm trying to be nice. And I'm sitting there and some kind of like somebody hit me with a stun gun. And Jane, Grandma Jane, who's so cute and blonde and adorable, said, what is wrong with you? Because I was so mouthy. I said, oh, we lost our sponsor. She goes, what? What do you need? What is it for? What's the podcast about? I might know somebody. I thought, oh, that's cute. And then I learned that she owns the biggest pet snack food company.
Salmon Snacks, called Sniff Snacks.
Sniff Snacks.
Great snacks for dogs.
And she said, Kim, I have a friend and there's no trade shows this year. And I'm sure he's looking to spread the word. I'm like, well, what's the name of the company? And I look it up. What do you have? Tell us everything that's in Vireo Systems. And then I meet you, we fall in love on the phone, and the Absolutely. Rest is history.
Yeah.
So let's go to Vireo Systems. Just tell the people that are listening, what is it? I have stuff right here in my hand.
But yeah, certainly. Well, first of all, Vireo is a Latin word for health. And that's kind of a guiding principle of everything we do. It's holistic products for people and pets. And it covers a wide range of product categories, everything from feminine health and feminine hygiene to pain management to consumer products like laundry detergent. We have sports nutrition products. We've got, as I indicated, animal health products. And we've got immune support products too for supporting other general health conditions. So
let's start with the most important thing, your pet supplements.
Yes.
What's the story of them?
They come from a research project that we were doing actually in sports nutrition, and we were studying a peptide that, frankly, we were hoping would help performance enhancement with athletes. And the molecule that we were working with failed at that. It didn't work. We had hypothesized that it might, but it didn't. And we, however, found that there were interesting side effects from it. The athletes, even though they didn't say they ran faster or jumped higher, they're like, you know, I noticed my knee wasn't hurting me or my back wasn't sore or my shoulder wasn't aching anymore. And so we shifted our research and started studying it as an anti-inflammatory or a pain reliever for people who are very active and what we call activity-induced or exercise-induced inflammation.
Right.
And we went and did dog studies to show that it was safe and show that it was efficacious for older kind of creaky dogs that are running around.
What gave you that idea?
It was just part of the safety studies for the FDA. And the veterinarians that were involved in the study said, this stuff is incredible. You need to make this product, not just in terms of research for humans. You need to make this product for dogs and for cats that are older and where their activity is causes them to limp and be kind of
arthritic
creaky
and all. Yeah.
And so we did that, and it has given real holistic options to to otherwise pharmaceutical treatments for an older dog's
pain. Supplements for pooches and kitties. And yeah. What do you call those?
Canine active and feline active.
Oh, that's pretty clear. So let me butt in. We are sitting right now, Veronica and I, in a hallway, you might say, of a 5-star luxury hotel, the Breakers in Palm Beach, Florida. And there's a storm outside, so a lot of people are still in. And we just had a cart go by with glass in it and everything, making noises if you heard anything. But why we're so happy is we have sunlight coming in on our faces through this beautiful window door, right?
Yes.
So that affects our mood, having the sunshine come through.
Absolutely. And our sleep tonight, it's impacting all of these little things on a physiological level and biological level that luckily are automatic. We don't have to think about them. But at the same time, as a designer, if your architect or designer is designing you a space and not keeping these things in mind, it's actually going to hurt your health.
Mm, wow. Okay, so lighting is one trend. What's another one you can think of?
Lighting is one trend. You know, there's a couple that have popped up just with COVID in particular. Mm-hmm. So materials are a really important one, sanitation. And that's not just about how you can clean the surface. So that you know, cleaning surfaces can be physically cleaning them with a product.
Right.
The surface has to be able to withstand that amount of cleaning. And those chemicals that have a tendency to break down the sealer on those materials. There's also UV light. UV light can also damage the materials, the color, and also break them down over time and just make it look old and tired.
Worn out, yeah.
So there's a lot of conversations on not only how do you keep a place clean, healthy, and sanitary, but how do you use materials in a responsible way where they are going to last a long time and they're not a maintenance burden for the homeowner, company, you know, whatever it is that you're designing for.
So in that materials, do you include or is this its own trend, bringing the outdoors in, plants and that sort of thing?
Bringing the outdoors in is essential. And you can literally bring nature inside, like with plants. But a lot of it is more about the psychology and the connection to nature and the outdoor environment. And so it's how the windows are designed. Do they go all the way to the floor? And when you're doing something like that, you can't make assumptions and say, okay, it's always good to bring windows down to the floor. Some people that might be psychologically uncomfortable. Or if you live out in the Wild West like I do, and it opens up and there's going to be rodents and little things that, you know, sleeping, you wake up with a raccoon in the morning.
Or a moose outside your window, yeah.
So, you know, you have to take everything within context and be specific to the people that you're designing for. But yeah.
So the outside in. Now, a trend that I see in wellness in general is the equalization of ways. We're going to have a guest next that talks about disparity in health and wellness services available to people of different nationalities and different income levels. So when I read your material, I saw so many gorgeous buildings, so many like, I want that, but not everybody can afford it, right? There's a bed here that costs like $8,000. There's another sheets that cost $350, right? And they're all smart and they're all high tech, but not everybody can do that. So if we're just John Q. Public and we want to increase the viability and positivity of our indoor spaces, can you give us some tips, Veronica?
Yes, absolutely. So there is things that you can do. You don't have to build a home or even be renovating a home to have a healthy environment. If you're renting or there are conscious things you can do. So the lighting is one of them. You can change out the bulbs, the color intensity and tone
to
and
what?
Lamps. Well, there is actually circadian rhythm lighting on the marketplace. And so it'll adjust. There'll be a brighter, lighter one for in the day that'll help you have more energy. And then there might be something that's more like mood lighting and dimmer in the evening and helps you fall asleep faster because you're giving your body those signals.
So we all buy light bulbs, so buy the right ones, right?
Buy the right ones. There's EMF is a issue, especially for some people. Some people are more sensitive than others. It's electromagnetic frequencies.
Oh, yeah.
Or electromagnetic radiation. So there's different types of basically fields out there that are impacting us. And they impact everybody a little bit differently, just like food impacts us differently. But they basically, they wear us down. And so it depends on how resilient your body is at, or it's like an intolerance. You may be able to eat bread. I may be gluten intolerant. EMF and EMR are the same thing. So if people start relating their environments to food, it starts making a lot more sense all of these different things that that the texture on the wall, the color of the wall, those are actually changing your mood. They can relate to our parasympathetic nervous system. So if we're emulating nature in our design, you are naturally going to be calmer. It will help minimize stress if you use natural materials versus if you use a lot of plastic or synthetic materials, they actually have the opposite effect on you and stir up fight or flight responses. And so that might manifest in a really subtle way, but maybe you're just a little bit grumpier or you know, somebody came up and
corrected what's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not you. It's your environment. I can help you with that.
Well, I will tell you that people don't feel equipped because they don't know. Like, for instance, someone told me once that at night, if you could possibly put your iPhone, because nobody, the first thing in the morning they touch is their phone and the last thing before they go to sleep because they're reading the paper and drive themselves crazy online. They said, put your phone on airplane mode so it won't emit so much while you're sleeping. Do you agree?
I agree. I put my phone down in the mudroom or in my charging station in my house when I walk into the house. And so if somebody texts me or reaches out to me, I might not get it until the next morning. I don't even allow
it
in my bedroom.
You rebel.
I know.
I just envy you. That's all I can say. But then again, you have all those children waking you up all the time. But what about cords and bundling cords and the look of a room?
So especially if somebody is sensitive to those things, you know, there you can have corded options. And then you do need to bundle them and design for them and hide them. So we're actually remodeling our office and we are trying to get away from wireless and do corded options and paying attention to how we run those wires, how they come up through the space so that, again, it's a serene environment and you don't see any of that clutter.
So you're saying you're getting rid of wireless for the magnetic pollution or whatever.
Exactly. Because if you're spending 8 hours a day in it, and again, you're sensitive. If we take a quick little trip into the world of quantum physics, everything has a vibrational frequency to it.
So true.
And we don't really think that we experience the world like that, but we do. Color is a vibration. Sound is a vibration. But even the materials that are surrounding us are emitting these vibrations that we pick up on a subconscious level. And so whether it's the actual inanimate object, like I wrote about in my thesis, or it's a electromagnetic field, those are constantly impacting us. And they are important when it's 8 hours a day, day in and day out.
I love that. I hope people are listening. You do not have to have wireless. Take a stand. I mean, clean out your air environment. Clean out your vibrations. That's why we have flowers on the table here, Veronica. Isn't that nice? I want the vibrations from that
They're
natural
beautiful.
Stuff. Okay, so we have to talk about the Global Wellness Institute's Wellness Architecture Initiative, for which you chair. You are the chair.
Yes.
Yeah? What are the goals of that lofty enterprise, Veronica?
So the goals are to help educate and bring awareness to how much the environment is impacting us so that people do start relating it to food and saying, oh, hey, maybe I don't want to, you know, be in that environment, or that environment is making me, that's why I feel tired all the time. Maybe it's not my food, maybe it's the environment. And so that there's a little bit more awareness and then people can make conscious, healthy decisions and be empowered to do something about them. So the initiative right now is inviting different experts from all fields, from, you know, neuroscience to feng shui and vastu masters to water experts. And we're working with, you know, inviting these different experts in, having a webinar, recording it and posting it on the website, and then also posting a little Cliff Notes version. So if people just want to know, oh, okay, this is why I should care about my water quality and go get a water purifier, which anybody can hook up even if you have a rental, then you know why you're more aware and you're empowered to go do something about it.
Well, there's so many things all of us can do. It's just like taking control of your own life. And that's why I really want our listeners to know that. Like every time I go to a hotel, which is often, I open the windows and open the sliding doors. I try to get up high and I let the breeze come in. It got me the other night here in Fort Lauderdale because there was a big wind and rainstorm. And I was like, oh, I have a little bit of a lake there on my floor. But it just, and I remember when I was a kid driving across country with my father who always did that. He taught me in the desert, just travel at night, roll the windows down, eat fruit, breathe slow, and just get in with your environment. Embrace it, right?
Very nice.
So tell me about nudge architecture. I love that term. What is that?
So nudge architecture comes from nudge psychology. And it's basically little design cues that will help influence people's behavior. So it's not about taking anything away from people, but providing them an alternative to choose a healthier lifestyle. So a really easy example of that might be if you design a lobby to have a beautiful stair that takes you up.
Oh.
And then around the corner is the bank of elevators.
But it's not the first thing you see.
But it's not the first thing you see. Or in workplace design, if you do have a kitchen and you're helping supply healthy snacks, but a lot of the workforce really enjoys their soda or their more sugary beverages. I've seen refrigerators that have frosted glass down low and up high, and right at eyesight and hand level is the water, things that are actually nutrient rich and going to hydrate you. And then when you open it up, there still might be the other choices or selections in there. So again, you don't take things away from people, but it's a little nudge to say, here's an easy option that's healthy for you.
Well, you have a lot of categories. Some we've heard of, sustainability, of course, sustainable architecture using, you know, recycled wood or certified wood. But what's regenerative architecture?
So I have a really great slide that illustrates this, but
we can't see it right now.
But we can't see it right now. So if you think about how we build today, all of our buildings they require energy and resources throughout the life, not just to build them one time, but throughout the life of the building. Then if you look at green buildings, they use less.
Mm-hmm.
And less is great, right? But they're still using. Then if you look at sustainable, to be truly sustainable is net zero, that you're producing as much as you're taking. So that might be gas. So instead of fossil fuels, you could have a compost that creates methane gas and then powers your outdoor grill, so you're not actually using fossil fuels.
Wow.
Photovoltaics or wind, you know, there's different ways of producing what you're actually using. Then there's a level above that that I call health architecture, and even a level above that that I call wellness architecture. And those are things when you're paying attention about the environment, about the energy, about physical health and physiological health, the ergonomics that we were talking about. But then you also start tapping into the cognitive performance, the intellectual side, the spiritual side, which might be somebody's life purpose or their highest potential. And you can actually design a space that helps somebody reach their highest potential by being able
to... Wow, that's lofty.
But by being able to get into your flow state faster and stay there longer, you're empowering somebody to do what they want to do. So going back to your question, there's buildings that use, there's sustainable or net zero right in the center. And then above that, regenerative is when they're actually producing energy and resources,
okay,
right?
Okay, this is new.
And so that might be literally energy, like the example I gave with the compost and methane gas, but it also can be human energy that you feel vitalized. And your longevity is increased when you spend time in a place.
So you engage the natural world as the medium for the generator of architecture. What does that mean? Engaging the natural world. You take things that are...
So nature is our inspiration. It's also our material palette. So if we're artists and we have this, you know, palette...
Of colors,
of
yeah.
colors. That those are typically... what we're using. So our basic rule of thumb, if, you know, there's so many products out there that are adulterated with all of these synthetics or chemicals or different things. And if we treat the building like we treat our food and say, okay, the closer to its natural state it is, and the less manufacturing and processing and transportation that went into getting that material there, the healthier it's going to be for us and for the planet. So that's how we kind of integrate nature in a pure way. And it goes from everything from the structure of the building to the finishes of the building.
Wow. Well, I really and truly want to know how you feel about your initiative. I mean, how lofty are its goals? How much room do you have for people to join your initiative? And what are you looking for to contribute?
That's a great question. So right now, our goal is really awareness. So we're not trying to become our own nonprofit, for example, to like raise money to have campaigns, but it really is about being able to collaborate with and bring together unique minds from all over the world and these experts and make sure that the information gets out there that these different things are important, whether it's water or an ancient tradition, Vastu architecture, feng shui. Even if you don't specifically subscribe to one of those practices, there are universal truths in those that can help make your environment a more uplifting place.
Well, you know, I love things like multi-use spaces, like generations demanding more of their kitchens, you know, and not the same old norm. But one thing that worries me about COVID, and I don't know, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but one of my worries is over-cleaning. Because, you know, babies that crawl in the dirt, you have 3 kids now, so you know you're not as precious with the third one as you are. The first one's like, don't touch. Oh, no, not for 6 weeks or 2 months or something. But then you're like, here, hold her while I tie my shoe or whatever. But are we going to over-clean ourselves to death where we won't have any defenses? What's your worry there?
Yeah, I think that that's a very legitimate concern. So instead of having this healthy bacterial and microbial culture around us that can actually help fend off those things that are unhealthy for us, we are killing all of them, the good and the bad, and then we are replacing it and putting chemicals on our body and often our skin multiple times a day. And maybe in the face of a pandemic, that is appropriate and prudent, but it should not be something that continues on for the long term. There does need to be a balance there in embracing nature and a different way of looking at this microbial world that we have.
Well, I'll tell you, Veronica, one thing that gives me hope and joy during this crazy time in human history is nature. Nature is the great forgiver. We open the door, we let the wind in, or we go for a hike in nature. And, you know, you're isolated, you're lonely, meet a friend on a trail and separate like that. So I just feel like I think you're a kindred spirit in that you learn from nature. You get inspiration
Absolutely.
From nature. So my last question to you is, what can you tell people in this time when they feel like it'll never end? What do you think nature has taught you that could benefit all of us?
Just being. So the art of stillness, which also happens to be a wonderful book title. So if you haven't read it, I would
The
I would
Art recommend. Of Stillness. Okay.
But that's the first thing that has come to my mind, because I also just took a maternity leave. And I have this sickness. I'm a workaholic. And so
I knew I liked you.
I'm sitting there on maternity leave and I'm just nursing and I'm exhausted, but I'm feeling guilty or bad because I'm not being productive and I'm awake. And so I think just being still and having inward journeys and inward focus and getting, like, there's so much to explore inside of you. And that, you know, that's a larger topic that goes into mental wellness and mindfulness and just being. And if you, I have a very dear friend whose father was also close to me and he just passed away. And she went into the room and she saw her dad, but she recognized that his energy wasn't human. His energy... She then looked out the window and saw a tree and she said, Dad, you're like the tree. Mm. And he said, I know. And so he was close to the end of life and he was just being. And I think that's something that we can learn from nature.
Aww. Well, Veronica, we could talk to you and talk to you, but we thank you so much. We have such hope thinking that the world of design can start with us. We can do little things, and then there will be examples of great things we can strive for, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, hug those babies for us. And thank you for bringing them to the Global Wellness Summit and for being here.
Thank you so much, Kim. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.